Welcome to the Canon Cast, a weekly podcast from the Canon, SB Nation's blog about the Columbus Blue Jackets. We have a special guest joining us for this episode, and I want to get right into it. I am Ryan Real. Joining us from the Canon, we have Eric Seeds. Hey, Seeds.
Hey, Ryan. How's it going?
Things are good. Things are good. And we also have William Chase. Hey, Will.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good, good. And our special guest for this episode was a Blue Jacket from 2000 to 2003. He is currently Columbus's real estate agent to the stars, analyst extraordinaire, the hyphenator, Jean-Luc Grandpierre. Jean-Luc, thank you so much for joining the Canon Cast.
A pleasure beyond, guys. I've been waiting for this time like for like 6 months now, I think, and finally I got the call, so I'm very honored.
We just weren't ready for you yet. But lately, you have been really busy to close out your summer. You've been playing golf, you've been building playgrounds. How are you doing right now?
I'm doing great, actually. Last week I had the Blue Jackets Foundation playground build down over in Columbus, and it was a really good time. Jody Shelley, Jared Ball were there, and then we brought our families as well. So I had a really good time along with some Blue Jackets employee and some of the City of Columbus park and recreation employees. So we had a lot of fun and definitely got dirty and learned that these guys work hard for their money. I'll tell you that. It's it's not an easy job. I was mixing cement for a little bit and got pretty dusty for days coming out of my snot and stuff. It was not
good to hear. Glad to hear. No, that's really cool that you guys do that. That's neat.
Yeah, it's definitely it's a lot of fun to connect with people in the community. And again, it's it's always fun to go to golf tournament and stuff like that. But once in a while to just get dirty and really get down to the real work is fun as well. And I think everybody enjoyed it.
Hey, Jean-Luc, it's Will here. I had a question I was kind of curious about with the Blue Jackets. Basically, with the UFA departures and the end of an era, basically with Bobrovsky and Panarin leaving, I was curious, how do you view the Blue Jackets as currently constructed going into this season?
It's going to be a challenging year for the team for sure, because you're losing a guy in Panarin who's probably one of the top five, top 10 forward in the league. So that's a lot of point production you're losing right there with him being gone. And obviously, Sergei Bobrovsky, who's won the Vezina a couple of times, great goaltender as well, has been, with the team for a long time. So, but I think, as much as people are disappointed, these guys, gave their all to the organization for the time they were there. Artemi Panarin a little less time, but I think he definitely got people into the seat and out of their seats when he was playing. So that was a great thing to see. But as far as Sergei Bobrovsky leaving, it's going to be a big loss. But I think the defense, the group, the core of defensemen and type of hockey the Blue Jackets can play defensively as a whole, they'll be able to manage that loss of goaltending with, we don't know who's going to be the goaltender, if it's going to be Jonas Korpisalo or Merz Lincoln yet, because it is an enigma. I've heard a lot about him, but still haven't seen him play a game. So it's going to be very interesting from September in training camp to watch him play.
Yeah, Jean-Luc, this is Eric. I've got a kind of a follow-up question with that going into next season. The Blue Jackets are going to have a lot of youth on the roster. There's going to be a nice crop of young players coming in looking to make their mark starting in training camp next month. We saw a little bit of what Alex Texier could do at the end of last season, and then we've got Emil Bemström coming in this year, possibly Liam Foudy. Which of the young players are you looking at who could potentially have a breakout performance this season? And who would you say impressed you the most at development camp earlier this summer?
Liam Foudy definitely opened some eyes during the development camp. I didn't look that much for Bemström and Texier, because I was familiar with Texier, and then Bemström didn't notice him like as much. But again, because it was a 3-on-3 type environment, it was hard to really assess someone's overall play, because you could take a really good, really, really good NHL player and an AHL player in a 3-on-3 game, and the American Hockey League guy may look more flashy. So it's hard to really evaluate what you have coming into the season. But I think the key for the Blue Jackets is going to be trying to find a spot for these guys on the top three lines, because you cannot take a guy that you expect offensive production from and put him on the fourth line and give him, you know, 2-3 minutes a period. So I think John Torella is going to have plenty of talent to work with. It's just going to be for him to manage who's going to keep up and who's going to ascend to the American Hockey League the next season, because I don't think there's enough room for all of them in the roster right now.
Right.
Yeah, and if we're looking at guys who can keep up, I remember watching Foodie in the 3-on-3 tournament last year. That kid can fly on the ice. He's one of the fastest skaters I've ever seen.
Yes, he has the skills. He definitely has the pace to keep up with the game and even push the pace of the game up. But again, it's, you know, we saw it in the playoff with Texier, who came in toward the end of season playing against teams that are not necessarily playoff worthy. And then all of a sudden you're stepping in against Tampa Bay and Boston. It's a different game, right? So for these guys, from training camp to playing the real games, there's going to be a big step. And that's going to be up to management to really be able to evaluate who is going to be ready to start. And I don't think Texier necessarily has a step up over Bemstrom or Foodie at this point, because, yes, he came up at the end of the year, but it's going to be a battle for all three of them to see who's going to stick, because, you know, we've seen in the past with Carlson, the defenseman that came up a few years ago, and we haven't seen him in Columbus in a while now.
Yeah, Jean-Luc, you touched on it earlier about the goaltending. That's the big question for this team this year. You used the word enigma when talking about Elvis Merzlikins, and, you know, do you think he can take that job? Or, I mean, what are your thoughts with a guy who you haven't seen and most of us haven't seen really play a ton, and definitely not in North America? Or, you know, do you think Korpisalo could rise to that number one spot?
That's the million-dollar question, right? Right. I strongly believe that Jarmo Kekalainen knows he's got someone special, or he saw something in Korpisalo that he knows that he's going to be able to step up and do the job this year, because I believe he would have made a move for a goaltender if he didn't really believe in them. So somebody's going to come out big, or maybe it's just going to be a 50-50 type case like the Islanders did last year. And obviously that worked out well for them. So who's going to be named the starter? I do not know. I think most likely the season's going to start and John Torella is going to ride whoever's hot. That's probably how he's going to start the season, because I don't, you know, if I were to give the edge to someone right now, I'd give it to Korpisalo just because he has the NHL experience. But, you know, you can't overlook Elvis, from what I heard anyway.
Sure. Especially when he's, you know, driving fancy sports cars and, you know, making a name for himself like that.
Yeah, he's definitely got the look, you know, he's a tall guy, not bad looking, got the tats, the sports car, a little bit of a rebel-like attitude. So I think the fans are definitely going to connect with him, because he's not going to be a boring guy to be around, that's for sure.
For sure.
A little bit of swagger there.
That's right.
Hey, Jean-Luc, so you're from Quebec and you've played all over the world as a professional. What was it about Columbus that made you decide to live here? And what would you tell a fellow hockey player to convince them to settle here in Columbus?
So, they talk about Columbus being a great city, especially if you have family. Obviously, now I have a family, I have kids, and absolutely love the community. But for me, the biggest thing with Columbus was my actual best friend when I was playing with the Blue Jackets happened to be my next door neighbor, who was a married guy with a young daughter that was like 2 or 3 years old, and his wife. And I hung out with this guy all the time. And at the time I was single, and we literally rode motorcycles together, went golfing together. And that's somebody I still stay in touch with now. And to me, that was something that was really awesome, because you got to be in a city where, you know, you were, you know, obviously the Buckeyes, especially back then, it was all Buckeyes and then Blue Jackets a little bit. But for me to be able to, like, walk around my neighborhood and just be a normal guy and everybody accepting me for who I am and not because I played hockey was really awesome, because half of them didn't know I played hockey. They were just a little suspicious about my car collection in the driveway and me being home all day. So finally, asked me, so what do you do for a living anyway? And then I told him, and then he's like, oh, that makes sense now. Because I think they were a little worried when they saw 22-year-old young stud moving next door with cars and motorcycles.
That's funny.
But yeah, it's a great community. My family really enjoys it here, and I'll be here for, you know, hopefully for a long time. I really like it.
I actually talked to Jody Shelley. I actually talked to Jody Shelley last year, and he said the same thing about the community. And it sounds like everybody really loves, you know, what Columbus has basically turned into these days.
Yeah, it has. And, you know, the cost of living is very, acceptable. It's not like off the charts like certain cities. You know, yeah, sometimes in the middle of January, do I wish I was in Miami or Los Angeles? Absolutely. But, you know, the winter are definitely shorter than back home in Montreal. So, a couple of months here and there, I can suck it up. And then comes March all the way through October, we're in pretty good shape. So it's awesome. Love it.
Yeah, I'm glad you like Columbus so much, Jean-Luc. As someone, I'm born and raised here and still live out in New Albany. So I'm glad you're still around town. With the departure of John Davidson in Columbus this summer, leaving to go back to the New York Rangers, Jarmo Kekäläinen's now the man here. How have you seen him growing into the front office around here, now taking over as the man in this new role? How have you seen him grow over the years here?
It was really interesting because, obviously John Davidson brings him along, and not many people knew much about the Jarmo Kekäläinen at the time, because I think John Davidson was always seen as the mastermind behind everything, even when he was in St. Louis. And obviously now in Columbus, we saw what Jarmo can do. And John Davidson was still kind of behind the scene, but I think most of the move were orchestrated by Jarmo Kekäläinen. And obviously, I'm sure there was some kind of consulting with John Davidson as well. But I think John Davidson did a good job molding him into this role and, keeping him around, almost like what Jarmo is doing with Rick Nash right now for the, the future. Maybe in 10 mm-hmm. years, Jarmo decides to leave and Rick Nash become the general manager / president, which would be awesome, by the way. Not that I want to get Jarmo out of here, but it would be awesome to see a past player become in upper management with Columbus, like you see around the league with the Joe Sakics and who's in Detroit now, Steve Eiserman. So it's really cool to see some of those old players coming back into prominent roles in management. But am I worried about Jarmo Kekäläinen being president and, general manager? Absolutely not. He's a go-getter. Yes, he did a few gambles last season at a trade deadline. Was it worth it? To me, it was, because I think what we saw in that first round series and even in the Boston series from the community, the city, and the whole NHL, it really opened some eyes on Columbus. Unfortunately, that didn't necessarily throw a lot of free agents wanting to sign here, but I think it was a very positive step for the organization.
Well, Jean-Luc, that's interesting you talk about the free agents, and that's a sometimes readily available source of talent that you can go out and get. And you played defense for this team and around the NHL and around the world. For you as a defenseman, is it more important to have elite players and that elite level talent, or a strong defensive scheme? One of our writers did a series recently that showed the Jackets kind of struggled in many defensive areas, despite having, highly regarded blue liners like Jones and Werenski. What do you make of the kind of talent versus scheme question?
Oh, it all depends on the coach. And it comes back to culture and who's willing to do the work. You can bring a lot of superstars, put them on a team, and depending on who's coaching that group, it could be a very successful team, like it could be a complete flop. You look at a team like St. Louis last year, there were a few superstars, Vladimir Tarasenko maybe, but even if you look at their overall performance, the whole group really like believed in the coach, Berube, that did an incredible job really getting all these guys behind him, and you could see them play as a unit, and that's how they won the cup, right? So as a general manager, and that's one of the tricky thing for them too, is like is it easy to write a big check for a superstar? It actually is fairly easy. But how is it going to affect your team? How is it going to affect your coaching staff if you bring somebody that plays a completely different style than what your team's used to? So there's a lot of variables that come into play, which is one of the reason why I would never get in management, because I probably get fired with you know, after year one, because it's not like when you're on your Xbox or PlayStation, you're putting a superstar team and just try to stay under the cap. The human aspect of each player is their style of play, their personalities, you know, their environment, who are they around, who they hang around. There's so much, you know, that is involved in the game now that it's really confusing. And that's why they have all these scouts, all those psychologists, and all these team doctors around, because it's really not just about what you see on the ice. I would say probably 50% of it is like their personality off the ice, their background, and all kind of different variables like that. So it's a complicated equation to put a championship team together. And a lot of time it comes back to momentum and luck as well.
Hey, Jean-Luc. So you played in the Quebec Major Junior Hockey League as well as European Pro Leagues. How would you compare the level of play in those leagues? And do you think one or the other is better for prospect development?
That is actually a really good question. I spoke to Chris Clark about it, because you're seeing a lot of the higher end prospects, especially with the Blue Jackets organization, as of late, I've been playing European hockey. And so when I played the Quebec, you know, the Canadian Junior League, basically the Ontario Western League and Quebec League, was where most of the prospect came from. There were some European, but nothing really came out of college hockey. Now you see a lot of college hockey, right? NCAA players.
Yeah.
Way less junior guys, especially in the first few rounds, and a lot of European guys. Having played in Europe, I can tell you the level of talent and the way these kids are coached is really incredible, because they get to play a professional game at a very young age. So Oliver Ekman-Larsson and Victor Rask and Anton Forsberg actually played with them when I was in Sweden. You know, they were 16, wow. 17, yeah. and 18-year-old playing, you know, with full-blown man, right? And were they dominant at this level? They weren't, but you could definitely see them develop. So a lot of time you see a junior guy put 100 points in the major juniors, or, you know, 40 points in 40 games in the NCAA, and then you see like a first round pick is a defenseman, supposedly offensive defenseman, who put up like 12 points in 50 games in Europe, and you're like, that doesn't make sense. Well, they can see that development coming from these guys. And you have to remember, they're 17-year-old playing against men, you know, for a full season or two seasons. So they really look at that. So you can't base yourself just on stats. And I think the coaching, the larger ice, them being able to, you know, be good skater and positioning wise, definitely helps scouts, you know, bring more and more European. And I think the trend right now, you're going to see more and more European take, you know, those first few rounds in the draft every year, because they get their system right. That's for sure.
Well, thank you for the insight on that, Jean-Luc. I have a fun question from one of our writers, Elaine Shercliffe. She couldn't be on the pod tonight and she wanted to say hello to you. But her question for you is, what would be your perfect foursome made up only of Blue Jackets players, current or past?
On a golf course?
Yeah. Who, if you could, if it was you and three other Blue Jackets, either current or former, who would you most want to have a day on the links with?
A day on the links. So actually, definitely Jody Shelley, because he's just an absolute riot. For the long distance, I would probably bring Freddie Modine, because he can absolutely crush the ball.
Yeah.
And then would Billy Davidge count as a former Jacket?
Absolutely.
Sure. All right. So Billy's short game and putting game is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
So that would make it, so that's three guys right now. And then, who else would I bring? I'm trying to think here. I'd probably bring Grant Marshall. Grant Marshall was a really good golfer as well. And he could
really?
Hit his driver off the deck.
That's awesome.
270, no problem. So he could definitely crush it. So I'm the fifth, so I'll just drive the cart and watch him play.
There you go.
There you go. I just put my rider team, my Ryder Cup team together right there.
And you're the cap, and you're the captain who gets all the accolades at the end, right?
Guys, when I'm on the golf course, honestly, true story. I just played in a pro-am the other day at the Double Eagle, and I was playing with a what was it? The Tom Ferry Tour, the web.com tour thing, whatever it is.
Okay.
They changed the name again. And I showed up, and you know, when I'm on the golf course, like, I'm not good, but I'm going to look good, right? So I got my custom staff bag with my name on it, all the latest club, and I look like $1 million. And all the pros are driving the carts, and I get to my cart, and my bag is in the driver's side. I was like, you realize I'm not the pro, right? I think when they put the bags, they thought I was the pro. I was like, I'm just here to look good. I'm not the pro. So the pro, like, we actually had to switch bags. So I'm that kind of golfer. I just love to go out on golf trips, have fun. But am I good? Absolutely not. But I love the game. Love the game.
So I've got a follow-up question, because I just played in an outing yesterday at Bentry up in the Sunbury area. What is your clubs, and what ball do you hit, if you don't mind me asking?
So I am a big fan of the Titleist AVX or the Vice Pro. Okay, because I lose a lot of balls, so I'm not gonna drop. I'm not gonna drop $50 a dozen, because I don't think my wife would let me golf anymore. So Vice is a good deal, like best ball for the money for sure. And then as far as which club, so I love playing the New Eras. So which Bentry is one of them. And as far as Bentry itself, I struggle immensely there. I can't stand some of their holes because of the blind shots. But New Albany Links is probably my go-to. I live right in New Albany, so I'm there probably 3-4 times a week, hacking it around there and try to stay away from people's windows.
There you go. I'm a Callaway man personally, so.
Okay.
Yeah, nice. But yeah, so playing at Bentry yesterday, I had a good time, you know, minus those blind shots. We didn't win the outing, but we finished respectably. We were at least under par. There were some groups that weren't.
There you go. See, if you ever go to Bentry and you see a bunch of, I had a bunch of balls with my name on it, and they're probably in the driving range right now. So next time you go to driving range there and you find a couple of Grand Pierre balls, that's me that was just whacking off number one and slicing it into the range. Those are my balls.
I will make sure I go look for those.
Jean-Luc, we've taken up enough of your time. We'll get you out of here on sort of an overall fun one. We on this podcast, as you know, as a regular listener, have been talking about kind of the drama, and that's kind of been the consensus over the summer that this year, however it turns out, you know, there's kind of a different atmosphere, and I think a lot of the fans are just kind of excited to get back to fun hockey with these young players and the core that we know and the strong group. When you look at this team in this upcoming season, is that the feeling you're getting, or is it something different, or what are you making of this upcoming year?
Yeah, I think it's going to be a very exciting, it's going to be a really exciting year for the fans, because we're going to start seeing some younger players coming through again. And, you know, I'm looking forward to see what Cam Atkinson is going to do this year, what Josh Anderson is going to be, Oliver Bjorkstrand, is he ready to take that next step, right, to become really a premier forward in this league? And then we have some of the young guys that we don't know that much. Again, you know, will Cole Sherwood make a big move into the roster this year or not? Yeah. I saw Marco Dano is re-signed here on quite a large AHL deal. So I think he's going to spend some time in Columbus. If I were to take an educated guess, I think he's going to spend some time here. And then obviously there's Elvis. And then on the defensive core, I think the Blue Jackets have probably one of the top three. You know, if you look at their top six, I would say top three, top two in the league. So I'm really, really confident in that young core of defensemen. You know, obviously Zach is not signed yet, but I'm really not worried about it. So it's going to be exciting. But I was looking at the schedule, and I believe they're playing 8 of their first 10 games are going to be against playoff teams from last season. You know, the Toronto, the Pittsburgh, the Islanders. So it's going, they have to be ready when the puck drops on game one, because you do not want to start the season, you know, like 2-8 or something like that. So those first 10 games are going to be crucial.
Absolutely. Well, we can't wait for the season to start. Can't wait for your analysis and your tweets and your memes coming up for the season. Cannot wait for the season to get started. Thank you so much for joining us on the Cannon Cast.
Yes, thank
you. You're welcome, guys. Always a pleasure.
Thank you.
That is it. That is all the time we have for this episode. Our theme music is Green Eyes by Angela Purley and the Howlin' Moons. If you have not checked out Angela's new album, 430, give it a listen. It is so good. You can stream it all over. You can find out more at angelapurley.com. Rate us, leave us a review on iTunes. That really helps other people find the show. As always, we welcome your comments. Thank you so much for listening. Thank Jean-Luc Grandpierre for coming on the Cannon Cast. You can find him on Twitter at JLGP34. You can find us at CBJ Cannon. From all of us at the Cannon, thank you, and we'll see you next week.